West Coast games, always tough, always thrilling. Of course, after you go to bed. What a win. Brewers winning extras over the Giants. Let's talk about it. 3, 2, 1. Let's begin this episode with the most important thing about yesterday's 3-2 win in 10 innings.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Devin Williams is an all-star, or at least needs to be. Another scoreless outing, a clutch save, leaving the tying run stranded on third base. We got plenty to break down from this as far as his start goes. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brew Crew all season long. If I sound a little quiet, well, I am recording this from my hotel room. I don't want to piss off my hotel neighbors. But we still have a lot of excitement to get over with this game. Late night, after dark Brewers. Wow. Corbin Burnes, great work from him. In a day that we knew Josh Hader was not going to be available. Who knows if he's even going to be available all weekend. Trying to give him the reset that he deserves and needs right now with his slump that he's in. And Devin Williams, pitching in his third consecutive game, gets his sixth save of the year to complement a great start from Corbin Burnes, even though he gets a no decision. The win goes to Trevor Gott, some vengeance there. The Brewers' offense wasn't great, but let's also be honest, Carlos Rodon has been one of the best pitchers in baseball. So we're going to talk about just a quick game recap. We also have to break down this bullpen for the Brewers, despite all of their struggles, and we will, of course, highlight what's going wrong with the offense and get you ready for Game 2 of this four-game set in San Francisco. If you missed it, I am in San Francisco right now, so really excited to be here. And right here at the top, as we've talked about Devin briefly, before we jump into the actual game analysis, I want to say a quick mega congratulations to Vinny Rotino. For those of you who watched yesterday, you will notice that he made his debut in the live game as the color analyst with Brian Anderson, and I thought he knocked it out of the park. I'm not just saying that because he's my former co-host here on the show. He truly is a great friend, and as he finds his footing in this very tough industry, sports media, broadcasting, that is one of what I'm sure will be many, many, many game broadcast. He is going to do a great job for the Brewers in whatever role, whether it's in the studio or in the booth. He is going to be a great fit here in Milwaukee. So I just wanted to give him congratulations on a great first broadcast with BA, a maiden voyage with the crew with BA and Sophia here in San Francisco. So congrats to Vinny. Can't wait for number two here tonight. Brewers win 3-2. And quite frankly, maybe this is a hot take, they could have won this game 2-0, and they were two pitches away from doing so. Corbin Burnes gets off to a great start. First two innings, not much happening against him. In fact, he went 6 up and 6 down. Brewers were getting traffic against Carlos Rodon. In fact, they got two men on in the first inning, didn't cash in. They loaded the bases with nobody out in the second inning for 9-1-2 in the order. They ended up striking out the side. I saw a lot of folks freaking out on Twitter. Oh my gosh, here we go again. They can't figure it out. J.R. Radcliffe actually had a great thread on Twitter. I really encourage you to check that out because I can't quite break it all down on this one. But the impetus of it was how unsuccessful the Brewers have been with runners in scoring position, specifically with the bases loaded and nobody out. The Brewers have had 17 at-bats this year with the bases loaded and no one out. 6 of those 17 at-bats have been strikeouts. There's been a double play that doesn't produce a run. 2 others that also have double plays. But the last 4 have been the grand slam by Adames in Pittsburgh, 2 singles, and a lineout. It just feels like a microcosm of what's going wrong with the Brewers. There was also a triple that resulted in another homer, 8 resulted in runs, 4 in multiple runs. Just go check out J.R. Radcliffe's Twitter if you want to see the full breakdown on the Brewers with bases loaded and nobody out. But for this inning, the Brewers didn't get a run. It doesn't matter. It's in the past. We go to the third inning. This is why I say the Brewers could have won this game 2-0. A stolen base by Mike Yastrzemski after a leadoff walk. Granted, leadoff walks in the bottom third of the order almost always come back to bite you. Another walk to Joey Bart, the nine-hole hitter, which, quite frankly, I think Corbin Burns was really, really mad about. But after a stolen base and a wild pitch, you had runners on first and third, and you got a strikeout of Lamont Wade Jr. with a changeup. More on the changeup in a little bit. And Jock Peterson was at the plate. He had a 2-2 count on him, and all of a sudden, it wasn't an awful cutter, but it definitely was low and out of the zone to the lefty, and Caratini just clanked it. He was trying to frame it, trying to present the pitch, and it didn't work out, and it turns out to be a pass ball, and it scores the first run of the game for the Giants. Then one pitch later, a soft single in the center field with a man on second. Joey Bart comes around to score, no attempt from Jonathan Davis. The only reason he was able to score is because there were two outs from second base, the catcher running. In the blink of an eye, in the span of two pitches, Burns went from, oh, he's one strike away from getting out of the inning, to, oh, it's 2-0. And with the way that the Brewers' offense had been going to that point, it struggled. But it all turned from none other than Pedro Severino. No, not the Jonathan Davis 13-pitch at-bat, the one right before it. Severino gets ahead 3-0 against Carlos Rodon. There's a man on first and one out. Tellez managed a single. By the way, Tellez had a pair of hits in this game. That was great to see. Severino, on the 3-0 pitch, takes one just off the outside corner, in his opinion, took a step toward first, called a strike. Okay, hey, my bad, Blue. Steps right back in. Does the exact same thing on the 3-1 pitch. This one definitely caught the plate. And Carlos Rodon has got palms up like, what are you doing, man? Like, these are close enough for you to swing at. And then ultimately, on the 3-2 pitch, Severino walks, and a stare down ensues all the way up the first baseline, Severino and Rodon. And clearly, Rodon couldn't shake it. A 13-pitch walk to the next batter, Jonathan Davis. And the Brewers cashed in on an Andrew McCutchen sack fly. Again, I saw complaints of like, oh my gosh, they only scored one run after making him work all that much. No, that was good. That was very good. That meant through four innings, there was no way he was probably going to go past five. 80 pitches through four innings for Carlos Rodon. Meanwhile, through four innings, Corbin Burns was at 62 pitches. That was even allowing two runs. So that worked out as it was supposed to. Rodon only lasts five innings. He did allow a couple more hits in the fifth, but nothing crazy. The first 11 hits for the Brewers were all singles in this game. That was quite an anomaly. We fast forward to the sixth inning. Bullpen of the game now for the Giants. It's still 2-0, and the Brewers finally break through. An RBI single from Willie Adames to tie things up with runners on second and third. A huge moment for the Brew crew. They take a 2-2 tie all the way to extra innings, where they eventually win it with two outs on an infield single from Jonathan Davis. Davis goes 2-for-4, two singles, a run scored, and an epic walk. What a day. Brewers win 3-2 in a game that they had multiple chances to win and also multiple chances to lose. Let's break down the actual numbers of this one, and a number that really blew my mind out of Corbin Burns yet again. Before we do that, let's talk about Blue Nile. If you are trying to pop the question, or if you're celebrating a milestone moment, you can find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. They're the original online jewelers. They've been doing this since 1999. They've helped millions of couples create their perfect engagement ring. They have expert advice available 24/7 with legendary service and 30-day returns as well. When you commit to a piece, so does Blue Nile. They have guaranteed service and repair for life for whatever piece you're buying. And they have the diamond price guarantee. You contact Blue Nile to compare a competitor's diamond against their own. In most cases, Blue Nile can meet or even beat the price. And if it's not perfect, no problem. There's a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and they mean it. So shop stress-free with guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make your moment sparkle. BlueNile.com. So Locked On Brewers listeners are going to get $50 off any purchase of $500 or more with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's it. All one word, Locked On. This is a podcast-exclusive offer, and it includes engagement rings. It arrives in discreet packaging. It won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. Corbin Burns had himself a night. The thing that impresses me most about Corbin Burns on any given night is we know the cutter is elite. Which pitch is going to complement it that night? When you throw five elite pitches like Corbin Burns has right now, last night it was all about the changeup. And he threw the most changeups he's ever thrown in a game in his big league career. He had the most swings and misses on changeups of any other pitch, including his cutter. When you're facing seven lefties like he did in this starting lineup today, he found a new way to neutralize this team, and especially given the fact that him being right-handed, facing lefties, everything that he throws, aside from the changeup, bears in onto lefties. So flashing this changeup that catches them by surprise, fading and tumbling down in the way, which is a very good pitch. I encourage a lot of folks to go check out the Pitching Ninja interview that Corbin Burns did with Rob Friedman during the offseason. And he kind of teased the fact that he's worked really, really hard on his changeup this past offseason. And yesterday was one of the best days that we've ever seen it from him, regardless of how much he used it or not. I mean, it was an effective pitch with the amount of swings and misses he was getting on it and the ugly early swings. I mean, when you have to be ready for a 97-mile-an-hour cutter and have to be ready for a 90-mile-an-hour changeup that's going to tumble off the table, you have no shot. You've got absolutely no shot. So in total, Burns had 17 swings and misses. Eight of them were on the changeup. Six of them were on the cutter. One on a fastball, one on a curve, one on a slider. Last week against the Cubs, it was all about the curveball. We've seen a lot of sliders. We haven't seen them much as of late. He is not afraid to vary things up. And 115 pitches is a career high for Corbin Burns, too. And he sets the franchise record for most strikeouts, most double-digit strikeout games in franchise history. It was his 19th last night, breaking his tie with Yovani Gallardo. Every night, Corbin Burns finds a way to impress you with something new. Last night, it was all about the changeup. 20 total, 14 of them were strikes. That's great usage, great for a pitch that's not necessarily meant to be thrown for a strike. He wasn't necessarily only relying on the swings and misses. He still threw four of them for called strikes. When you're facing as many lefties as he did, he found a new way, he found what was working, and he wasn't afraid to keep going back to that well. Really impressive stuff from him. Let's talk about the bullpen, too. Wow. Bullpen was perfect. I mean that. They actually were perfect. Hobie Milner, one inning, he faced four batters, retired all four batters that he faced. He inherited two runners on, got out of it. What a great run for him. 17 inherited runners now. Only two have scored this season. Then it was Trevor Gott with some demons to burn in the ninth inning. He goes two for two. Two strikeouts against the Giants. Remember, this is the team that he pitched for in 2020, had an abysmal year, had a 10-plus ERA in 2020, spent all of 2021 in AAA in their organization, and they let him walk. Now he's here with the Brewers, a beneficiary of the pitching lab, and he gets to shove it against his old team. And then Devin Williams in the ninth. The strikeout really fired him up to get him going, and then a flyout ends things in the bottom of the 10th inning, gets his sixth save of the year, a perfect bullpen performance, literally 2 2/3 innings, three strikeouts, no walks. They faced a perfect final nine batters of this game. There was a fielder's choice in there, too. This is exactly the kind of game the Brewers needed, a grinded-out win in a game that they never held the lead until the 10th inning. Christian Yelich was not available again yesterday, but he was available to pinch run. He scores on the infield hit from Davis. He was the placed runner in the 10th inning. He is expected to play today. But literally, it was a top-to-bottom team effort. Craig Counsell had to empty his entire bench. Omar Narvaez caught the bottom of the 10th inning. Yelich came off the bench to pinch run. He used Colton Wong as a pinch hitter as a DH spot. He also got Jace Peterson into the game once Rodon was lifted for a right-handed reliever. Everybody got into this game. On the Giants' side, they were pushing all the strings too, pulling all the strings and pushing all the buttons and everything. This was a very, very entertaining, well-managed game. And the controversy, and there was a great shot from Bally Sports Wisconsin that we found between innings, when Austin Slater came in to pinch hit for Jock Peterson, that was when the lefty Hobie Milner came in because Craig Counsell dared Gabe Kapler to leave his best hitter in. left on left. Jock Peterson does not face lefties. Craig Counsell dared Gabe Kapler to leave him in, and he didn't do it. There's a shot of Jock Peterson screaming an expletive, throwing his helmet, and walking down the dugout back into his clubhouse. Because he knew it was coming. Brewers finally were able to contain Jock Peterson a little bit. He goes 1-for-3 with the RBI single on a great pitch. He's a really good hitter. Of course, he had the big go-ahead home run in Milwaukee the last time these two teams met in the one-off back in April. When you control Jock Peterson, you control the rest of the lineup. The Brewers only allowed 4 hits in this game. 4. And just 3 walks. All 3 were by Corbin Burnes. What a day. 2 runs, only 1 was earned as well for Corbin. He gets another quality start working into the 8th inning. The pitching looked like the pitching we expected, and that was very encouraging to see. Let's talk about the offense and get you ready here for tonight and for the rest of the weekend. Heading into the All-Star break. It's our last pod before the All-Star break. Before we do that, you got to go check out Bet Online. They got some Home Run Derby stuff on there right now. Your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. The bracket is now out as well. I am hyped for this Home Run Derby. I am a sucker for enjoying the Home Run Derby. It should be a whole lot of fun. So here are the matchups. The 1 seed is Kyle Schwarber. He leads baseball in homers. Schwarber, at least of these guys that are in the Home Run Derby, I should say. Not all of baseball. Aaron Judge still leads in that. But it'll be Kyle Schwarber against Albert Pujols, Juan Soto against Jose Ramirez, Pete Alonso against Ronald Acuna Jr., and then Corey Seager against Julio Rodriguez. By the way, the Mariners just won their 11th straight game yesterday, too. If you want to find some more information about betting and lines and everything that you would want to know, whether it's scores, podcast news, you got to go to betonline.net. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to check in all your favorite sports and events. Head to the website today and learn about the trends and get in on the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Offense. Okay, I know, wasn't pretty. They go a total of 3-for-15 with runners in scoring position. I was on the game up in Green Bay pregame talking with the folks, Marcus and Chris, up there. And they asked me, what do you need to see from the Brewers offense to make you believe that they're on the right track? And I said, I want to see more opportunities with runners in scoring position because you're bound to get a team to crack. And as soon as you get that one big hit, it should open up the floodgates. We didn't quite see it in this game yesterday. 15 at-bats with runners in scoring position. 14 runners left on base in 10 innings of work. But hey, it's a baby step. I would rather that than the alternative of maybe going 1-for-4 with runners in scoring position and 4 runners left on base. Giving yourself looks and giving yourself opportunities is the only way you're going to get a chance to win the game, right? The Brewers gave themselves chances. Didn't quite work out as far as the runners in scoring position, but hey, it's a win. A win is a win. Offensively, we saw 2 hits from Rowdy Tellez, first time, only the second time in this month that he's had a multi-hit game, getting going in the right direction. In fact, the Brewers have 3 multi-hit games. Luis Urias had a multi-hit game, hit another ball hard to deep right center field that was tracked down, obviously a big ballpark at Oracle Park, and Jonathan Davis, the 2 hits as well. When we look at this offense, Colton Wong did not get the start against the lefty on the mound. Oh, I beg your pardon. There were 4 multi-hit games, as Andrew McCutchen also had multiple hits in the top of the order. When facing a lefty, I like having McCutchen at the top of the order, knowing he can ambush on a fastball or ambush any first pitch for that matter. We'll certainly keep pitchers on edge. I wonder if Yelich does play today, or if he doesn't, with a lefty on the mound, would they still throw him straight back to the onto the leadoff spot facing a lefty to start today? Or do they treat him like Rowdy, slide him a little lower down in the order, knowing a lefty's on the mound, and hope that the top of this order with McCutchen probably leading things off and Brasso, who's been playing very well, by the way. I want to make sure we give Mike Brasso his due. He goes 1-for-3 yesterday. He gets lifted for Jace Peterson later in the game when the lefty gets removed. But what a pickup. Brasso, he's only got 85 at-bats this season. He's only played in 39 games now. And despite limited playing time, he's got 4 homers, a .294 average as a part-time player, mostly playing only against lefties. I wanted to make sure we gave him a little bit of credit. Brewers need to find some more consistent offense, but as we all know, I think everybody's just trying to get to this All-Star break and get ready to enjoy some R&R heading into the second half of the season. Another good pitching matchup coming up here today, as the Brewers will be sending Brandon Woodruff out for his final start of the first half. It is a 9:15, a little bit later tonight, first pitch locally in Central Time, so 7:15 here Pacific, against Alex Wood, another lefty, of course. Woodruff's got a 4.01 ERA, but he's been great as of late. Wood, a 4.43 ERA. And then the Brewers will have an earlier game on Fox. That'll be at 6 o'clock on Saturday. And then a 3 o'clock start on Sunday to close out the first half and get ready to enjoy the breather. Also Sunday, it is the Major League Baseball draft. So we'll have some coverage on the Locked On Network. In fact, our Locked On MLB guys will be live if you want to check that out. I will have a reaction pod on Monday. Got a couple interviews lined up for the All-Star Break content. And to give you a tease for what to expect next week, we'll have an episode on Monday, an episode on Tuesday. I'm not 100% sure if there'll be an episode on Wednesday, but there will definitely not be an episode on Thursday of next week. So we'll be getting ready for the second half with a varied schedule coming up. But there will be an episode in your inbox on Monday as we get ready for recapping the rest of this weekend of this four-game set with the Giants. Thank you for listening. And remember, Devin Williams is a gosh darn all-star. My goodness, that dude needs to be in the all-star game. My name's Dominic Catronio. Thank you for listening. And for YouTube folks, bear with me. YouTube's been a struggle with the Wi-Fi that I've been on. And I wish you guys could see the setup that I'm in recording. I am currently surrounded by my pillows. Also talking into the headrest to make sure that I don't disturb my neighbor here in the hotel. Hopefully they're not awake already. But hey, sorry. Just doing my job. Thank you for listening. Hope you tune in tonight. Bally Sports Wisconsin, stay up late with us and enjoy some Brewers baseball. Back here on Monday. Until then, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.